You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia. Home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com. At Braves Country. Braves Country today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country today. Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Hey, Braves fans, I'm Mac McGee with Braves Country. We'll be right here on The Key all year long giving you Braves Country baseball, pitch by pitch, inning by inning of your Atlanta Braves. Make sure to catch Braves Country right here on The Key. We go live 3 to 5. And we'll keep you up to date on the upcoming schedule for Braves Country. That's Braves Country HD and Braves Country Baseball right here on The Key. Lineup for Yesterday by Ogden Ash. A is for Alex, the great Alexander. More goose eggs he pitched than a popular gander. B is for Bresnahan, back of the plate. The Cubs were his love and McGraw his hate. C is for Cobb, who grew spikes not corn and made all the basemen wish they weren't born. D is for Dean, the grammatical diz. When they asked who's the tops, said correctly, I is. E is for Evers, his jaw in advance, never afraid to tinker with chance. F is for Fordham and Frankie and Fish. I wish he were back with the Giants, I wish. G is for Gehrig, the pride of the stadium. His record, pure gold. His courage, pure radium. H is for Hornsby, when pitching to Raj. The pitcher would pitch, then the pitcher would dodge. I is for me, not a hard-hitting man, but an outstanding all-time, incurable fan. J is for Johnson, the big train in his prime, was so fast he could throw three strikes at a time. K is for Keeler, as fresh as green paint, the fastest and mostest to hit where they ain't. L is for LaHoy, whom Clevelanders love. Napoleon himself, with glue in his glove. M is for Maddie, who carried a charm in the form of an extra brain in his arm. N is for Newsom, Bobo's favorite kin. You ask how he's here, he talked himself in. O is for Ott, of the restless right foot. When he leaned on the pellet stay put. P is for Plank, the arm of the A's. When he tangled with Matty, games lasted for days. Q is for Don Quixote, Cornelius Mack. Neither Yankees nor years can halt his attack. R is for Ruth, to tell you the truth. There's no more to be said, just R is for Ruth. S is for Speaker, swift center field tender. When the ball saw him coming, it yelled, I surrender. T is for Terry, the giant from Memphis, whose 400 average you can't overemphasize. U would be Ubel if Carl wore a cockney, but we say Hubble in baseball like football in Rockney. V is for Vance, the Dodgers' very own Dazzy. None of his rivals could throw as fast as he. W, Wagner, the bow-legged beauty, short, closed to all traffic, with Honus on duty. X is the first of two X's in Fox, who was right behind Ruth with his powerful socks. Y is for Young, the magnificent Cy. People battled against him, but I never knew why. Z is for Zenith, the summit of fame. These men are up there, These men are the game. Line up for yesterday, Ogden Ash, January 1949, Sport Magazine. Braves Country, Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball all year long. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, inning-by-inning of your Atlanta Braves. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Please like and subscribe to youtube.com/@Braves Country. Casey at the Bat by Ernest Lawrence Thayer. The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, but with one inning more to play. And when Cooney died at first and Barrows did the same, a pall-like silence fell upon the patrons of the game. A straggling few got up to go in deep despair. The rest clung to the hope which springs eternal in the human breast. They thought if only Casey could, but get a whack at that, we'd put up even money now with Casey at the bat. But Flynn preceded Casey, as did Jimmy Blake, and the former was a hoodoo, while the latter was a cake. So upon that stricken multitude, grim, melancholy sat, for there seemed but little chance of Casey getting to the bat. But Flynn let drive a single, to the wonderment of all, and Blake, the much despised, tore the cover off the ball. And when the dust had lifted and men saw what had occurred, there was Jimmy safe at second and Flynn a-hugging third. Then from 5,000 throats and more rose a lusty yell. It rumbled through the valley. It rattled in the dell. It pounded on the mountain and recoiled upon the flat. For Casey, mighty Casey, was advancing to the bat. There was ease in Casey's manner as he stepped into his place. There was pride in Casey's bearing, and a smile lit Casey's face. And when responding to the cheers, he lightly doffed his hat. No stranger in the crowd could doubt 'twas Casey at the bat. 10,000 eyes were on him as he rubbed his hands with dirt. 5,000 tongues applauded when he wiped them on his shirt. Then while the writhing pitcher ground the ball into his hip, defiance flashed in Casey's eye, a sneer curled Casey's lip. And now the leather-covered sphere came hurtling through the air, and Casey stood a-watching it in a haughty grandeur there. Closed by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped. "That ain't my style," said Casey. "Strike one," the umpire said. From the benches black with people, there went up a muffled roar, like the beating of a storm waves on a stern and distant shore. "Kill him! Kill the umpire!" shouted someone on the stand, and it's likely they'd have killed him had not Casey raised his hand. With a smile of Christian charity, great Casey's visage shone. He stilled the rising tumult. He bade the game go on. He signaled to the pitcher, and once more the dun sphere flew. But Casey ignored it, and the umpire said, "Strike two!" "Fraud!" cried the maddened thousands, and echoed answered, "Fraud!" But one scornful look from Casey, and the audience was awed. They saw his face grow stern and cold. They saw his muscles strain. And they knew that Casey wouldn't let that ball go by again. The sneer is from Casey's lip. His teeth are clenched in hate. He pounds with cruel violence his bat upon the plate. And now the pitcher holds the ball. And now he lets it go. And now the air is shattered by the force of Casey's blow. Well, somewhere in the favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out. Casey at the Bat, Ernest Lawrence Thayer, published June 3rd, 1888. San Francisco Examiner.
Armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have any idea?
Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Idea?
This is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Unchecked.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. Do you know what listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on YouTube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports.
Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. I think we've already seen what is going to be the fallout of the McAfee show going to ESPN. They ain't got no money left. They're showing paddleball on TV.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I'm not 100% sure if it's because of some kind of licensing, but they're calling it paddleball on ESPN2, but it's pickleball. They've got pickleball on TV, and oh my God, I couldn't get to the remote fast enough. The dullest crap you've ever seen in your life. Makes me want to binge watch the WNBA. How the hell are y'all, everybody? The Atlanta Braves are heading into Cincinnati, and man alive. The Reds, how about them? Break up the Reds, right? They are on 11-game winning streak, and this is going to be a good test for the Braves as they go in there on our own 8-game winning streak. And this ought to be a fun test when you look at the fact that the Atlanta Braves are going to go in there. First of all, tonight's game, let's get into that real quick. The lineups are out, by the way, and we'll get more into the lineups here in a little bit. But tonight's game, you got A.J. Smith-Shawver going to the hill, and he is going to be taking on Luke Weaver. If you're not familiar with Weaver, kind of a journeyman type. This year, he's got, what, a 6.47 ERA. So he's not someone who's going to go in there, pitch lights out. He gives up more hits than innings pitched. He's a guy that was drafted originally by the Cardinals and went to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then kind of bounced around. He found his way back into the majors in Cincinnati. He was a former number one pick by the Cardinals out of Florida State. So they had high hopes for him. But when he was drafted several years ago, the game has changed already. Just off of what the game has changed since he's been drafted. You would have never drafted him in the first round in today's Major League Baseball. Now, he's only been in the league handful of years, but when he was drafted, I would say it's close to 10 years ago now. What you don't have now is what he does not have is what you expect now out of your top draft picks, which is a high end fastball. His fastball will hit low 90s, mid 90s, but it's nothing that's going to blow you away. He is always, from what I've seen of his career, he has always struggled with, first of all, he doesn't have wipeout kind of stuff. And then the other thing is he's always struggled with location on his breaking pitches. And if he hangs one, it's batting practice. So hopefully the Atlanta Braves can get to him. Before we dive into that, I do want to go into the series itself, because that series, it's a 3-game series. And when you go in, by the way, tonight's game is 6:40. So it's not it's a little earlier than normal. Of course, the Braves have been on that kind of cycle since they went to Philadelphia. But if you look at the way the game unfolds, or the weekend unfolds, they play at 6:40 tonight, then they turn around and play at 4:00, and then in 1:30, I'll double check that here in 1 second. 1:40 on Sunday. Okay. So what you're looking at is a series that if you're not playing well out the chute and you come in kind of sluggish, it can jump on you in a hurry. And these weekend series do that. Because I've seen this more and more this year than in years past. You've got the night game on Friday night, which has been pretty normal. But then after that, most teams nowadays are playing the 4 o'clock game on Saturday. You'll have a few night games because the mothership Fox wants all eyes on them on Saturday night, right? And for good reason, you put that kind of money out there, that's what you want. So the 4 o'clock game is either your local feed or FS1 will pick it up. Sometimes I think there's a couple of 1 o'clock games tomorrow, but those are rare. Those are really rare. And then your Sunday game, obviously, quick turnaround on that because they want everybody out of the way for the Sunday night ESPN game. So you have to manage a couple of things. A, teams have to manage how they're going to do their catcher position because you're going to have a night game, a day game, and then realistically, it's another later start followed by a day game. You have to look at that. You also have to look at the fact that if you used a guy the night before in the bullpen, how fresh is he the next day? Let's say he pitched, we'll say, 9:30 tonight. Can you turn around and use him, depending on what you've used him in the past few days, can you turn around and use him again less than 24 hours? Or are you going to have to wait and use him on the Sunday game? And, of course, obviously, if they pitch on Saturday, are you going to be able to turn around and use the guy on the Sunday game? So usually what happens with these teams, you'll see them try not to use the same pitchers on Friday and Saturday. And the guys they use on Friday, assuming everything goes well, they're going to try to shift them to Sunday. And the guys they use on Saturday, they're going to try not to use on Sunday. So there's always... I've always thought that major league managers, more than anything else, and yes, they have to control the entire locker room, no more do they ever even come close to setting their lineups. Their lineups are, most teams, their lineups are set by the analytic guys, is what it is. They come in with the numbers, and they say this guy needs to bat in this order against this pitcher. Whether it's because he's a right-hander, whether it's because he's a left-hander, whether it's because so-and-so hits well against that player, against that pitcher, right? And so all of that comes into play. You saw it during the Philadelphia series, did we not? Because Marcell Ozuna was put in the number four slot. He hasn't been in the number four slot all year long. It was because he hit Aaron Nola really well his entire career. His entire career, he's hitting Aaron Nola. So that's what you have. And then, of course, tonight, Ozuna is back to the fifth spot. And this is all analytically driven. So these guys, man, you're not going to get the same thing when it comes to a manager. Their main objective, honestly, is managing that bullpen over 162 game season. That's what the Brian Snickers of the world realistically get paid for their experience to handle a bullpen. Yeah, you want to have a locker room presence. You want to have a presence where the guys feel at ease. You get the most out of them. A lot of guys have different ways of going about it, but no matter how you look at it, the manager has to get the most out of their guys. But with all that being said, you at the same time have got to go out there and manage that bullpen. And when you manage the bullpen, you have to make sure that when you're managing that bullpen, that you're getting you got the big picture in mind, right? Because the big picture in mind would be, obviously, to make sure that you don't wear a guy out You don't lose a game. You don't worry so much about winning a game. A team like the Atlanta Braves are sitting there at 48-26 or an 8-game winning streak. Are they going to go all in tonight and make sure they get the W? I don't know that they will. I really don't. They're going to go in with Schauver on the mound. The Braves are a heavy favorite too, by the way, which is a little strange to be on the road facing a team with an 11-game win streak. And you've got a rookie pitcher. That tells you what they think of Luke Weaver. If it gives you any indication right there, that tells you what they think of Luke Weaver. But this is what it looks like for the time being going into tonight. You've got the Braves will face Luke Weaver tonight. We're going to have Schauver on the mound, obviously. And then tomorrow, because of the juggling act that we did, which came about because of the rain out, you'll have tomorrow's a 4:10 first pitch, and we'll have that game as well, but it's going to be Schuster and Ashcraft. Ashcraft, man, I looked at his numbers. He's 3-5 of the 6-7-8. Now, he's always pitched well against us, but in the past, he's had better seasons. He has been awful this year. 3-5 with a 6-7-8. And all of these different shows that I pay attention to, that the talk Major League Baseball that I listen to in the morning and whatnot, some of them are betting shows and whatnot. Basically, every time Ashcraft's on the mound, they're telling you to bang the over. So the Braves ought to be able to put some runs up on there. And Schuster's 4-2 with a 4-5-7. And though that 4-5-7 sounds terrible, remember, he's got off to a bad start. He's dropped that. His last start was the ERA was well north of 5. So he is slowly bringing that ERA down. And I have a lot of confidence in Schuster. I think we've got the upper edge tomorrow. Tonight, I think it's kind of a coin toss, mainly just because we've got a rookie on the mound who's looked really good. I love everything the Schauver brings to the table. But you don't know what it's going to be. I think it helps him. Not that he get the extra day of rest, the fact that he didn't have to pitch in front of Philadelphia's fans. That would have been his first really big road test. Cincinnati's got a good baseball town, don't get me wrong. But they're not as rowdy and as raucous as a Philadelphia fan base would be. Now, would a day game have been that big a deal? Probably not. Day game in June, I don't think the nerves would have got to him. But I hope that he goes out and has a really good... Well, I did not know that I was muted. So, how about that? So, hopefully everyone can hear me now. I don't know what happened there. It's got to do something with the... All right. Well, I don't know how much anybody listened, so let's start this thing over. God almighty. Let's go ahead and start this whole thing. You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, UEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. Evidently, the audio crapped the bed, so there's that. And I didn't get any kind of indication until just a second ago. Thanks, Underwater.
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. The All-American man.
Yeah, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? I'm not sure what happened, but we are back with the audio. Didn't do anything different than I've done in many shows past, but for whatever reason, the audio got muted, so I do apologize for anyone that might have been tuning in and might have been like, what the hell is this guy doing? So, real quick, we'll go ahead and jump back into it. Bobby is on the way. We'll reset and we'll do all the Brave stuff here in a minute. But the short of it is, going to get into the Braves-Reds series real quick. and then we'll reconvene with tonight's game in the second hour. Bobby's going to come on, and we're going to talk a couple of different sports. So let me go ahead and set the stage here. All right. Atlanta Braves tonight versus the Cincinnati Reds, and the Cincinnati Reds are coming in an 11-game winning streak. They are going to be sending Luke Weaver to the mound, and Luke Weaver, look, he gets hit hard. He gives up more hits than innings pitched. He's got a 6.47 ERA. He's 1-2. He's a journeyman type. Schauver's got much better stuff. When Weaver first came on and was drafted out of he played a college ball at Florida State, was drafted by the Cardinals. Then he bounced over to Arizona. He's in Cincinnati now. I think he might have had another stop on the way. But the point is, he's always kind of struggled, but he's an innings eater. He's a guy that teams will put out there to just try to eat some innings up and go out there and get you five, maybe six. But he's not a guy that they expect to shut down. Every once in a while, he goes out and has a good outing. His stuff normally struggles with basically control. He doesn't have a blow you away type of pitch. He just doesn't. That's not really his game. And so with all that being said, he is going to be coming into tonight's game trying to hold on to that 11-game winning streak against the Atlanta Braves, who should be able to put some runs on the board and back up the youngster in their own right of A.J. Smith-Shawver, who I thought has looked really, really good over the last couple of outings. He's 1-0 with the 2.03, but if you look past that, it's just the fact that his fastball has gotten more velocity, better control than we saw on his first time out. And we just hope he continues to build. He's going to have a bump or two in the road. 1-0 with the 2.03, newsflash, it won't stay that way. You know, the other thing about Schauver is, how many innings are they going to use him for starting pitching? They hope to get their other guys back and get them back quick. And I mean quick, because Schauver, being a youngster, 20-year-old youngster, they're not going to go into the end of the season expecting Schauver to be on the mound. They worry about these young kids' arms. That it didn't used to be a thing. It's a thing now. If you're an old seam head like me and it drives you nuts or whatever, you just got to get over it. It is what it is at this point. So I can't imagine they want to see him throw more than about 80, maybe 100 innings this year. So at some point this year, Schauver is going to be regulated to the bullpen. And they may just shut him down altogether. I don't know how they're going to manage that. But tonight we get to see him start. Looking forward to that. You look at the next game, game two in this series is Schuster versus Ashcraft, and Ashcraft 3-5 with the 6-7-8. Last year, he actually looked pretty good. There were times Ashcraft went out there and was one of the better starting pitchers in the National League for, 6 to 8 games, somewhere in that neighborhood. He fell off towards the end, and this year, he just hasn't gotten it together. Schuster has looked better and better every time out. I've said this before, but his placement of his pitches and being a lefty reminds me so much of Tom Glavine. I'm not saying he's the next Tom Glavine. Don't lose your mind on me. I'm saying that he has his delivery and the way he likes to work east and west the way Tom Glavine always did, and a left-hander, is more crafty than you would say going to go right after you. Schuster reminds me of him a lot, and I hope Schuster stays in the lineup for a while, because I'm telling you right now, those are becoming some of my favorite games to watch. I know that may sound strange. Dude, we got Strider. We got Morton. We got this. We got that. We got Fried coming back. I like watching Schuster pitch. I like watching Schauver pitch as well, for, you know, for that matter. But Schuster, I like the guys that are crafty, that are, that because they don't have the mid to high 90s fastball, they've got to be more precise, and there's more of a mental game. Last time Schuver was out, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow in the pregame show. Last time Schuster was out, he did a masterful job of going in and out with his fastball. East and west, jamming him, going away, jamming him, going away. Has that tailing fastball, and then he would pull the string on it on the outside, and you're out on your front foot, and you have no shot. So that's the matchup tomorrow. I say advantage Atlanta. Tonight, it's a coin toss, but I would say I would lean Atlanta. And then Sunday, it's Charlie Morton versus Ben Lively. That's a true toss-up, because Ben Lively's actually looked pretty good. Now, he's a youngster. He could go out there and have a bad game. And we know Charlie Morton has been frustrating. He has looked phenomenal at times, and at times he's looked like a 39-year-old right-hander that is out there trying to just grind through an outing. So tonight is a pretty big game in itself, because it very well could be the rubber match. I do believe that we're going to get to Ashcraft tomorrow. Lively's going to be interesting, and we know how bad the Braves play, especially on the road in day games. They tend to not get a lot of run support. So what kind of run support is Charlie Morton going to get on Sunday? So tonight, Schauver versus Weaver. It's a big game. And Atlanta is minus 155 on the money line. The over-under is 11. When the over-under is 11, and granted, it's because of the Great American Small Park, but the over-under is 11, that just tells you they're expecting some runs scored tonight. I mean, that's a high score. Typically, you're over-under. If it's a pitcher's duel, it's 7.5. But an average game is somewhere between 8 and 9 on the over-under, so they're expecting some runs to be scored, as am I. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to get back into Braves-Reds. Just want to go ahead and put a pin in it right now, but we're going to get into Braves-Reds. The lineups are out, and we're going to get into all that here in just a bit. Keep it locked in here on the Key, WQEE 99.1 FM and Braves Country HD. This is assuming everybody can hear me. We'll be back in a flash. Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night, and two bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee, and we'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch, your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
You're in Braves Country.
All right, let's get you ready for Braves Reds as the Atlanta Braves are heading into a series. About to face a Reds team that's won 11 in a row. The Braves have won 8 in a row in their own right. So the two hottest teams in Major League Baseball. You did have the Giants there that won 10 in a row, but they got dumped yesterday. The wheels fell off that winning streak. Hopefully that doesn't happen tonight for the Braves. But you've got a... You basically have two runaway freight trains about to collide into each other, and we'll see which one is going to flinch. And looking at tonight's action, looking at the lineups, it's going to be... Pull the lineup for everybody. It's going to be... pretty much the same for the Atlanta Braves. A couple of differences, but it's pretty much the same. You've got Acuna, Albies, Riley, and Olson. Olson moving up to the number four spot. That's the biggest difference. That, and look, I've been wanting to see that. I really like that so much better. Because I like seeing the right, left, right, left, right. Now, the part that doesn't make sense is that right after that, Ozuna sitting at fifth. Eddie Rosario's been playing out of his mind. Why is he not batting sixth? And then you put Darnold at seventh. But they went with what they went with. So it's going to be Riley at third and then Olson batting cleanup. Ozuna in the DH spot. So the first five batters through the lineup is right, left, right, left, right. Then Darnold will come in. He's behind home plate still. They're hoping that Murphy may be back. And I mentioned this a couple of days ago, but I think the best bet for him to actually get on the field would be tomorrow. Maybe Sunday. They might want to wait an extra day. Chadwick Tromp could be in play for tomorrow's game. I doubt they put Darnold back-to-back games in a night-day situation. He definitely won't play all three games. So it'll either be Chadwick Tromp or Murphy. Now, they say that Murphy says he feels fine, he feels great, he's ready to go. We saw him pinch hit yesterday. And that's the positive part of it. But the non-positive part of it is, we're going to go into this situation and we're going to have to, if Murphy can't play this weekend and then they have to put him on the IL, they can't backlog it. Now, they could backlog it since he came into bat yesterday. They could backlog it to today. But once again, you have 3 days. Then you're really dragging it out. They asked Brian Snicker about, are you a little nervous about going into a game where if a guy gets banged up, you don't really have a backup plan, because they don't want to send Tromp down until Murphy is ready to roll. And he basically said that he believes that they'll be able to get through the end of whatever game if there is an issue. They did have Eddie Rosario, by the way, take grounders at second and at third base, because if something were to happen to Arcia and he got banged up, Riley would slide over to short. They're going to try to put Rosario down at third. Now, Chadwick Tromp has played third as well, so that's also somewhat of an option, but that would essentially be the play on that. So he could play second. Rosario, he could play second, he could play third. We went through these scenarios the other day, but Riley would be your shortstop and first base. We've got like three guys that could play first. But hopefully none of that happens and Murphy gets back. And when Murphy gets back, that'll be the interesting thing, is who do they bring up? Because they're not going to carry three catchers, I wouldn't think. I think they'd rather continue Chadwick Tromp to develop down on the farm than to have him just sitting there not getting any at-bats. And he's not taking at-bats away from a healthy Murphy and a healthy Darnold at this stage. So that's where we look at going into tonight's game. And then when you look on the other side of it, and I suspect that we're going to get some runs against Weaver. I really do. And the question will be, can Schauver go out there and continue to pitch as well as he's pitched? So, with all that being said, the going into tonight's game, the Reds will put the bat on the ball. We saw this in the first series against the Reds. They are pesky. They don't have a lot of swing and miss. What I am interested to see, this kid De La Cruz, they're calling the unicorn. Phenomenal athlete. Now, I was under the impression he was a shortstop because he came up as a shortstop, but they have him listed at third base tonight. So that's an interesting develop. Now, McLean, I do know that they're big on the McLean kid, so they got him at short. So I guess De La Cruz is getting his tries at third base right now. By the way, he's batting .321, two homers and six RBI. And he's only been up a couple of weeks. So this kid, De La Cruz, is a phenomenal athlete. He's very much like the O'Neill Cruz kid from Pittsburgh. Tall kid, lanky kid, a lot of power. And if he's hit a couple of balls already that have been scalding off the bat. Joey Votto is back for the Reds. The Reds are a pesky team. They're scoring a lot of runs, and they've gotten some good starting pitching in this 11-game winning streak. They're sitting atop of their division. And when we saw them the first time, we swept the Reds, but every single one of those games were close. 1- and 2-run games. So this is not the Reds of last year. This is not the Reds of 2 years ago. Remember, the Reds aren't that far removed from the playoffs. Atlanta played them in the playoffs in 2020. But this is a whole new team, a team that you can tell they're going to be good going forward. Did they make the playoffs this year? Probably not. They probably don't have the pitching depth, and they're going to continue to roll their kids out there. But this should be a fun series. If you love baseball, this should be a fun series to watch. There should be some offense on both sides, and you know, two young teams, one a little more seasoned than the other, obviously, but two young teams are going to be going head to head. And you've got Steer and India both have double-digit home runs. Now, they're not a team that's going to rip the cover off the ball. Now, Joey Votto's back, and he gives them a little more oomph in the lineup. But all in all, this is a team that if you leave the ball over the plate, they are more of a team that will go out there and run. They've got what? They've got in tonight's lineup alone, only two guys in the entire lineup don't have a stolen base. Votto, who's only had 9 at-bats, and the designated hitter slash catcher tonight, Stevenson. Everyone else has a stolen base. India's got 12. Fraley's got 12. I remember when we watched the first series between the Braves and Reds, the Reds will send runners, and with Darnold behind the plate, they're going to go out and try to put some pressure on Darnold. So as long as the Braves can go out there and keep the runs down, they should be able to score runs on this Cincinnati Reds ball club. And they should be able to win this series. But when you're looking at what you're for the entire series, for the entire weekend, tomorrow at Schuster versus Ashcraft, I do believe that the Braves have the upper hand in that one. We talked about this earlier in today's show, but tomorrow it's Schuster versus Ashcraft. Sunday, it's Morton versus Lively. That's a toss-up. They are the home team. So tonight's game could very well be the rubber match, because the Braves have a decided advantage offensively over the Reds. And I think tonight, as far as stuff, the SSAJ's got a lot better stuff than Luke Weaver. But you never know how a rookie's going to respond. We've yet to see the growing pains that comes with every single youngster. Even Spencer Strider, we saw it with Spencer Strider this year. As dominant as his stuff is, Strider went out there and spit the bit a couple of times in a row. So when we go into tonight's game, that's the biggest wild card for me, is does Shauver show up? I would think the Braves would be pretty well rested. The game ended around 4 or 5 o'clock. They got into Cincinnati early evening yesterday. They should have gotten a good evening's rest, ready to roll. It is a little bit of an early start, but it's nothing crazy. 6:40 first pitch, so it's nothing crazy. And it should be a high-scoring series, especially in the Great America Small Park, as they call it. The dimensions there. It's not just that, man, the ball just flies out of that building. And my pick to click tonight, I'm going to go with Matt Olson. Matt Olson against Weaver. I'm just envisioning a hanger. I mean, just a hanger that he implodes out of the building. You look at Cincinnati's stolen base, you look at Atlanta's, it's really kind of funny. Because they have almost the exact same amount of stolen bases in the lineups tonight, but we get all of ours from Ronald Acuña Jr. He's got 32. Harris does have 8. Outside of that, you got Albies with 3. I'm a little surprised Ozzy Albies doesn't have more stolen bases. Not just this year, but in his career. He's got speed. And then you got the Olsen and Riley steals, but anybody that watched those games, those were goofy steals. Orlando Arcia stole third because the defense absolutely fell asleep. So we basically have 2 stolen base threats in our entire lineup. The Reds will run. Friedel, even McLean's got some get up and go. India, we know Jonathan India will move the ball. I mean, will move on the base paths. Fraley and India both have a dozen stolen bases. And this De La Cruz, the unicorn as they call him, he's got 6. He's only been up a few weeks. So this, I mean, and with, if Murphy isn't back tomorrow, if Sean Murphy isn't back tomorrow, I've got some real concern that he could be headed to the IL. Because that's the spot you would put him in. You would say, hey, we're going to give Darnold the day off. We're going to put you behind the plate. If you feel anything, if anything feels funky, you're coming out. But we want to put you in there. If they don't put him in tomorrow, a day game after a night game, I've got some concern. I figure he'll be in the lineup tomorrow, assuming everything continues to go, which, you know, everything's trending the right direction. And they'll give him Sunday off. And remember, we don't have a day off on Monday. We go straight back into it. It's Twins 3-game series against another division leader. And I would think Murphy would play Saturday, be off Sunday, and then be ready to get back in that lineup on Monday. Because the way that series lines up, and we're going to bring you all 3 of those games, that series lines up, it's a night game on Monday, a night game on Tuesday, and then an early game on Wednesday. 12:20 is the first pitch on Wednesday. But if Murphy doesn't get in the lineup by tomorrow, It's going to be a rough one. And I do like Eddie's chances to click tonight, but I tend to pick the guys that are a little higher up in the lineup because they're going to get more at bats. I would think Harris would have a good game. But you don't know how many times they're going to get to see Weaver. Olson should see Weaver twice, if not 3 times. And that's why I'm going with Olsen to hit one out. I think he would have gotten a second home run in that series if we would have played three against Philly. I don't know if y'all heard the Philly reaction to that 10th inning, but it was classic. The Philadelphia Phillies radio broadcast team, they were ready to jump out of the booth. And I still can't believe that they did not give Schwarber an error on that game, on that play. The ball came out of his glove. It hit him in the glove. And it wasn't like it barely skipped his glove as he was diving for it. That was an easy out in Major League Baseball. That tells you the standards they have for Kyle Schwarber's defense in Philadelphia when they said that was not an error. That was absolutely an error. It's not even close. You can't be a Major League Baseball outfielder and the ball hit to you, and though he was on the run, it was a steady jog. It wasn't like he was on a full bore, and the ball hits you in the glove and pops out. Dude. And you can make the argument that lost him the game. Braves are up by one, but that would have ended the inning. As soon as that ball pops out, two runs scored. Then, of course, right after that, Ozuna hits the two-run home run. But you went from going into the bottom half of the 10th, down a run, to down five runs. And we all saw how that played out. I'm getting a little concerned about the fact, too, that when you put Iglesias in the game, man, he's doing too much of this Kenley Jansen stuff where there's always ducks all over the pond. If he gets the save, it's a nail-biter. He's only had a couple of clean saves this year. And I don't know if it's him still trying to work back from that injury, but it's concerning. I would assume that we're going to go out there and make some moves at the deadline to bring in some arms for the bullpen. But are they going to be elite arms? Because typically, that's not what Anthopoulos does. He went out and got Iglesias last year, but that's because Smith was an absolute disaster. He's typically not going to go out and get the cream of the crop. He's going to try to gel it together with guys that are sixth and seventh inning guys elsewhere. Because Anthopoulos hates giving up any of his big-time prospects. And I get it. You want to have those prospects for when you really want to make a mega deal. I get that part. But it's concerning as a Braves fan when you're watching this and you're... And we have... I mean, we're World Series or bust this year. Anything less than a World Series is going to be a disappointment in Braves country. The team's too good. It's, in fact, right now in Vegas, they are the favorite to win the World Series. You're not winning the World Series if you don't have the ability to slam the door shut in the ninth inning. As bad as Will Smith was all around that World Series, before October, the following year, man, in October of 2021, Will Smith was on it. That entire bullpen was on it. AJ Minter starting to really hit his stride, which I knew he would. AJ Minter's always starts slow. It's just what he does. But you got AJ Minter. Nick Anderson, to me, is a seventh inning guy. He's not really a great setup guy. He doesn't have the explosive stuff that he had back in 2019. When he was with Tampa. Father Time's undefeated, right? He went through some injuries. He's still good. Still love having Nick Anderson in the bullpen, but we need a secondary right-handed guy that can go out there. And it may end up being Schauver, because they're not going to have Schauver pitch 150 innings this year. There's not. So it could be Schauver. Soroka, by the way, if you missed the news on that, he almost pitched a a complete game no-hitter. Now, it was a seven-inning game, but still, he went 6 2/3 before he gave up a hit. Struck out, I think, 9. Triple-A, okay. That's great. He was pitching great, but the thing is, sometimes a guy's stuff isn't quite to where it should be to be able to dominate at the major league level. Because what we saw a couple weeks ago of Soroka, man, he was getting tattooed. I want to see at least 3 more of those starts down on the farm where he's dealing before they even attempt. I mean, right now, barring an injury, whose slot is he taking? I'm not benching Schuster. I'm not benching Shauver, not from what we've seen so far. Now, if one of them goes out and has back-to-back bad outings, sure, maybe you'll send him down. But all in all, go ahead and give me the Braves to win tonight. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Let me get it. See, the over-under is 11. So let's say it just gets past that. Give me the Braves in a 8-4 victory over Cincinnati. Olson goes deep. Olson gets 2 hits and knocks one out of the park. All right. Let's go ahead and get you the lock of the day, and then we'll get you set up here as we'll be right back at it. And first pitch is 6:40 Eastern. All right, tonight in the lock of the day, been going back and forth on this. I think I'm going to go ahead and go with the over-under in Mets-Phillies is 9, Senga versus Taijuan Walker. I think these two teams are going to tattoo each other. Give me the over in Mets versus Phillies. First pitch on the way. Get your game face on, Braves country. God dog it, it's Friday night. You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
There's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
If baseball is about caring, about loyalty and rivalry.
Baerga is 0-3. Left center field, Grissom on the run. The team of the 90s has its world championship.
There's a very peaceful thing. It was created and played in pastures and meadows. There's grass, there's outdoors, there's everything that people thought was American and feel about America. You get in a ballpark, and it's the wonder of walking through that dark tunnel and seeing a huge open space where men play the little boy's game.
I believe in the Church of Baseball. I've tried all the major religions and most of the minor ones. I know things. For instance, there are 108 beads in a Catholic rosary and there are 108 stitches in a baseball. I prefer metaphysics to theology. You see, there's no guilt in baseball, and it's never boring. It's a long season and you gotta trust it. I've tried them all, I really have, and the only church that truly feeds the soul day in, day out is the Church of Baseball.
Touch them all, Joe! You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life!
A lot of room in right center. If he hits one there, we can dance in the streets. The 2-1. Swung line drive, left field! One run is in! Here comes Breed! Here's the throw to the plate! He is! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win! Braves win!
You're in Braves country.
Down to one strike here. Gurriel, the last hope for the Houston Astros. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Swung on, bounced over to Dansby. Dansby fires it over to first, and here comes the dog pile. Fire the cannons in the battery. Do the chop all throughout Braves country. Pop that top. Your Atlanta Braves have won it all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we once were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Play ball!
Howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Pull up an armchair, girls and boys, and join us for Braves Country Baseball. We are live, and the scene is Great American Small Park in Cincinnati, Ohio, where we're set to bring you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. Here are your starting lineups for today's action. Leading off for the visiting Atlanta Braves. Playing right field, Ronald Acuna Jr., batting .324, 15 home runs, 46 RBI. He has 32 stolen bases on the season. Batting second, playing second, Ozzie Albies, 17 homers, 53 RBI, and a .267 clip. Austin Riley, batting third, playing third, 12 home runs, 35 RBI, a stolen base, batting .259. Matt Olson comes in hitting .230 on the year with one stolen base, 52 RBI, and 21 stolen bases. Marcell Ozuna, the designated hitter, 14 home runs, 32 RBI, and a .241 average. Travis d'Arnaud is behind the plate, batting .252 with four homers and 14 RBI. Eddie Rosario, playing left field, 13 home runs, 37 RBI, a stolen base, and a .269 average. Orlando Arcia comes in with a .333 average, six homers, 25 RBI, and a stolen base. And Michael Harris II, he'll be patrolling center field with six home runs, 21 RBI, eight stolen bases, a .254 average. On the mound for your Atlanta Braves, the SSAJ, AJ Smith-Shawver, 1-0, the .203 ERA, a .98 whip, 13 and a third inning, 9 hits, 11 strikeouts, 4 walks allowed, and 2 home runs given up. Luke Weaver comes in with a 1-2 record, 6.47 ERA, a 1.54 whip, 57 innings pitched, 71 hits allowed, 50 Ks, 17 walks, and 13 home runs given up. Coming to the plate in the bottom of the first inning for the hometown Cincinnati Red Stockings, Friedel is in center field, 4 home runs, 27 RBI, 8 stolen bases, .320 on the year. McLean is the shortstop with 3 homers, 15 RBI, 3 stolen bases, a .313 average. Jonathan India, batting third, playing second, 10 homers, 39 RBI, 12 stolen bases, a .266 average. De La Cruz, nicknamed the Unicorn, will be playing third, 2 homers, 6 RBI, 6 stolen bases, a .321 average. Fraley is in right field with 9 homers and 44 RBI, 12 stolen bases, .270 average. Votto, Joey Votto, the future Hall of Famer, is back with 9 at-bats this year, 1 homer, 3 RBI, batting .222. Steer is in left field, 10 homers, 40 RBI, 7 stolen bases, a .273 average. And Stevenson is the designated hitter, 5 home runs, 32 RBI, batting .253. Mail is behind the plate with a .243 average, 3 homers, 11 RBI. He does have a stolen base. First pitch set for 6:40 Eastern here in Cincinnati, Ohio. Game time should be about 80 degrees, with the temperatures dipping into the mid to high 70s. Braves come in favored minus -155 on the money line. The over-under is 11. Home plate umpire tonight, Chad Fairchild. First base, Nick Lentz. second base umpire, Brooke Bio, and down the third baseline is Jeremy Rehak. Friday Night Baseball edition of Braves Country Baseball. The Braves and Reds are about to embark on a three-game series, both of them coming in on 8 and 11 game winning streaks. Cincinnati is 40 and 35 on the year, 20 and 18 at home. The Atlanta Braves, 48 and 26, 24 and 11 on the road. Well, it's about that time. Grab you a cold one. Find you an armchair. Braves Reds, Friday night edition. Get your game face on, Braves Country.